awfully different without you.
Thank you, and when welcome to the Starlight Ballroom, high above beautiful Off-World Colony, Connecticut. Asking that musical question.
And what with programs?
Well, I don't have one.
I keep pretty much to myself.
It's tough to ask one if you don't have one.
That's true. Thank you, Nancy Lamott. Welcome to our show. Joining us later will be David Lightman, Capitol Bureau Chief for the Scandal Plague, Hartford Current.
Wait a minute, I think they're calling now.
Mm-hmm. I love this story, and it will be our chief for the Scandal Plague, Hartford Current.
Wait a minute, I think they're calling now.
Mm-hmm. I love this story, and it's, did we ever figure out exactly where in yesterday's paper they buried it? Nicholas Cage couldn't find it with the back of a Declaration of Independence, I'm sure, but, so here's the story. Actually, first of all, come with me back in time to 2003, when Jack Dolan, the fine investigative reporter for the Hartford Current, breaks this terrific story about do not call lists. And he discovers that 11 executives of the direct marketing industry had their names were on do not call lists. In other words, they were involved in telemarketing. They were executives of the telemarketing industry. But they had put their names on do not. They didn't feel like getting any of these freaking calls. Well, that was a terrific story, and it became a national story, and the Hartford Current got quite a reputation out of it. And you can still, to this day, look that story up, and it's reprinted everywhere. And I can also tell you that the direct marketing industry, therefore, came to hate the Hartford Current. All very well and good, except that in September of last year, the Department of Consumer Protection here in Connecticut fined the Hartford Current the highest fine ever levied here in the state of Connecticut since the institution of a do-not-call law here in Connecticut. They were fined $36,000 for a series of 18 different violations. Well, that's kind of interesting. Well, I mean, when you already have a reputation for doing some hard-hitting reporting about, you know, the whole problem of people who are in the direct marketing industry, putting their names on do not call list, and then it turns out that you, the same business institution, the Hartford Current, is the worst violator of the do not call law in the state of Connecticut. Well, why haven't you ever heard this story before? Because the Current didn't tell anybody. As a matter of fact, did they not tell anybody like out here in the road? They didn't let their newsroom know about this. They just sort of walled it up, you know, and so nobody knew about it until it surfaced somehow in the General Assembly. Now, I haven't had time to find this out, but I'm, for the umpteenth time this week, I'm going to tell you, I already know what happened. I can reconstruct this in my head. This is the theme of this week. Here's what I guarantee you happened, because this is a very common phenomenon. Some legislator said to the what's called the OLR, Office of Legislative Research, find out how well that do-not-call law works. Does it do any good? You know, are we enforcing it? What's happening? Every once in a while, a conscientious legislator will answer that question. And then OLR, which is a very fine nonpartisan research institution within the legislature, will find out. So they probably came up with a report that said, well, here are the big violators. Now, it turns out the number one violator was the Hartford Current. And I think a close second, and this is my favorite thing about the story, was Miss Cleo. So the Hartford Current edged out Miss Cleo, all right, as a violator of the do not call law. Think about that, all right? They edged out everybody. I mean, there's not like there's somebody that they didn't beat, but they had violated the law more.
Closest competitor was Miss Cleo.
So anyway, so while this story has sort of been hidden from public consumption by the Hartford Current, somebody noticed that report and called the newsroom of the Hartford Current and said, do you guys know that you're like the biggest violator in the state of Connecticut of the do not call law? You who have done such fine reporting in the past about people who abuse the do not call law. And at that point, the Current did do a story. Now, I didn't see it yesterday, which makes me think that it was like encoded in maybe the crossword puzzle or something.
It was in the classified, yeah. In the under automobile.
It is in there somewhere. There is a story by Paul Marks. But I didn't see the story.
I think I did see it
yesterday. You did see it? Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not that. I mean, I don't know.
It was like very obscure and it was very small.
I may have just breezed through the Hartford Current too fast. But I bet you they buried it.
It was like way in the back somewhere.
But that was their second mistake. anyway, Today, some conscientious person had written a letter to the editor, which got in today, saying, this is my first clue of this. I'm reading a letter to the editor, and I read this letter saying, well, you guys are a bunch of big freaking hypocrites, aren't you? And I'm thinking, what is this about? How come I don't know about this? And so I started to do a little bit of research, and then I found out this whole story. Meanwhile, I actually found there's actually a publication online and in print for the direct marketing industry called DM News. And they had an article about it. And actually, I got into a fight with the senior editor of DM News. This is how I spend my days. It's an email fight, actually.
Oh, okay.
Because, in fact, they write, the Hartford Courant, which in 2003 exposed the fact, they fixed this. All right, this is the fix. I'm reading the fix now. This is the result of my fight, actually. But anyway, this is they did a story about the Hartford Courant in 2003. They exposed all these direct marketing association executives registered for national do not call lists, that the Hartford Courant paid $36,000 to settle a DNC complaint. And it's they basically reported the story pretty accurately. And yes, the other big offenders were for the other people targeted for the other institutions targeted for enforcement penalties were ADT Home Life Security, owned by Tyco International, and Access Resource, operators of the Miss Cleo Psychic Hotline.
Specifically, what is it? They weren't supposed to call people and they did?
Yeah, in other words, there's a do not call list.
Right.
And they were calling people on the do not call list.
Okay, but that's what they did. That's the extent of what they did.
It was a private telemarketing firm that was doing it, but according to one of the accounts that I read, the Courant was warned at some point that they were in violation, and the violations continued.
So what is this, some special offer they had for the newspaper, and they call you up and said you can get 175 weeks for $10 or something?
Yeah.
One of those deals?
Yeah, exactly. There's a couple other things that I wanted to point out here. Well, first of all, I got into a fight with them because in their story, the DM News, the direct marketing thing, they ran the story going, Hartford Courant. But what they did is they said the Hartford Courant reported in 2003 that several direct marketing executives were on do not call lists. So I wrote the guy an email and I said, you're as bad as the Hartford Courant. It wasn't several. It was 11. 11 is different from several. Several, if I say to somebody, I had several drinks, orgasms, heart attacks, whatever last night, they don't think I had 11. they think I had maybe 3 or 4.
They might. depending on who they are.
I said, when you say several and you mean 11, you're minimizing something.
Yes.
So
you're right.
So you're as bad as the Hartford Courant. Fix it. And they did. They fixed it, and they wrote back and said, oh, well, you're a contributor to the Hartford Courant. Yeah, well, you should check harder. It's the biggest thorn in the Hartford Courant side in the world. That's what this is all about. And I just want to say to the Hartford Courant, how freaking stupid can you be? You just assisted in the dethroning of a governor who thought he could get away with things. That he could get away with things.
He did get away with things.
Well, he got away with things for a while, and then they caught him. Well, that's what they did. In September, they get hit with the biggest fine in the state of Connecticut, and they conceal it from their own news staff, the biggest DNC fine in the state of Connecticut. You would think they would think, who does that sound like? Who else did the news staff catch eventually? wouldn't the lesson in Connecticut journalism of the last 12 months be that honesty is the best policy?
Right, for that matter, national journalism.
Yeah, or national journalism, or whatever, you would think. No, actually, national journalism, honesty is not the best policy, because the Bush administration continues to thrive despite the fact that they lie their asses off every day. So,
that's different.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm amazed by that story. And I'm amused by it, obviously, also.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay.
All of that to promote David Lightman, who will be coming on later.
Lightman will be coming on. Yeah. Well, he may have to make a few, calls first. He's got to hit his quota first before he can do the show. Now, did you want the tote bag with that, or or did you want the hedge clippers? Okay, I'll come back to that, okay? This is David, your Tribune Company operator. Apparently, it's a problem for tomorrow because Stan Simpson hasn't made any of his calls this week. And
he may not be able to come in.
He may not be able to come in to do the show. Yeah. They're very concerned.
So now, as a Northeast contributor,
yeah.
I heard it was just casually that you on occasion write a column for Northeast.
I do occasionally write a column for Northeast.
Rarely does that get mentioned, but no. I guess you do. Dion, are you obligated in any way
to make a few calls? They may start asking the freelancers to help out that way. Yeah. I'm not sure.
It's only a volunteer thing.
Yeah. I think to move on from making fun of one of my employers, making fun of one of our sponsors. This is my other favorite story of the day. The Vermont Teddy Bear people have put out this straight jacket wearing teddy bear.
You know, I saw that. We did this last week.
Yeah.
In the instant I saw that thing, I said, this is going to be trouble.
And so they put the Crazy For You Bear, who wears a straight jacket.
We read the thing.
Yeah. I know.
I read it.
Yeah. And they're refusing, and they're getting mental health advocates and policy. The governor of Vermont has now condemned them. And they're refusing to pull it off the market. They did take the wife-beating psycho killer bear off of the market. They're not going to have that anymore.
That's good.
But they have a Crazy For You Bear.
Just trying to remember what it was like to actually do those commercials.
I mean, it's a national news story, too. I mean, they're...
Well, I know. I've seen it.
It's a Valentine's Day thing. And so, anyway, they refused to do it. It's $70 to get this bear. He's wearing a straight jacket. And he comes with commitment papers. Simulations of legal documents used to force a mentally ill person into voluntary treatment.
That's a little old.
Actually, one of my
commitment papers.
One of my friends who's sort of in the dating scene right now said that she would be willing to buy a "I'd be crazy to date you" bear. She said she'd probably buy out the entire stock if they had those. But this is the Crazy For You bear, indicating. I mean, it seems to me it should come with a restraining order since the bear is clearly a stalker, right? The dog bear is so crazy for you that it's been locked up and committed.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I would think that would be part of it too.
Yeah. So it's not only insulting to crazy people, to the mentally ill, but it's frightening. It's like, you know, why don't they just have a bear based on? I'm blocking the name. Never mind.
It's just as well.
The Robert De Niro character in the thing that Robert Mitchum also played. It's a movie.
Cape Fear.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, why don't they have a bear face? Never. It would have been funny if I'd gotten it out of my head the first time.
Wake up tomorrow morning to WTIC News Talk 1080 from 5:30 to 10 with Hartford Current columnist Stan Simpson. His guests include historian...
The biggies there. Five of them. From the WTIC Storm Center.
Big news from my brothers out there, from my homies. I saw this once before and nobody believed me, but I just saw it again in the promotions room of 93.7.
What's that?
Pac is alive, man. He's alive! Pac is alive!
Wait a minute. What were you doing in the promotions room for 93.7?
Pac is alive, yo. I just saw him in this building.
That guy... No.
Pac is alive. It's like Elvis. He didn't die.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Okay.
He's here right now.
You keep that up, and this Vermont teddy bear thing's going to seem like small potatoes.
I have to say that... Having sort of finished my little diatribe about Vermont teddy bear, although I don't think we were uncharitable. That this is a story. We discussed it.
No,
we said
we're not
where
they are.
Yeah, we said they're a fine company, and they're foolish to endanger their reputation by this nonsense.
They can do what they want. Obviously, they don't call and ask us, but
they're like bears. They're like bears. They're what they want. But anyway,
they're lucky all those bears don't hibernate this time of year anyway. Yeah. I mean, they'd really be.
But anyway, upon emerging from the studio, the first thing I saw, dressed for coming in from the elements, would be the fine and upstanding woman who runs these four radio stations out here. And I realized that she just was coming from somewhere in her car. She probably had this station on, because she does often listen to it.
She does.
She probably.
Why, I have no idea, but she does.
She probably heard me in a troubling set of statements.
No, I don't think so.
But you
know, had there been, as you know, had there been a problem with this, This room would have been filled with people. It would have been people running in here. And
that's
they would have been jumping.
She's going to be down there as soon as somebody tells her about this. But, I mean, anyway, we didn't cast asparagus on Vermont Teddy Bears.
No,
I mean,
because we won't. We like
error of judgment. It's a great company. We love the Bears. We have the Bears. We own the Bears. They're great Bears.
We talk about the Bears. Yeah. They're...
But now they get the governor of Vermont telling them to stop, you know, and they can't even figure out to do that. So, I mean, what can you say? Except that, you know, this is just a bad day up in Shelburne. They should fix it.
I suppose there are some things like that that maybe you could be a little playful with, but yeah. I'm not sure that's one of them.
No. Well, you can do it. You can do crazy for you.
Well, yeah,
you
but
do
I mean...
crazy for you there. But you can't have it with...
With a straitjacket?
Commitment papers.
Right.
I think. But anyway, it was just in bad taste, that's all. All right. I scarce know where to go next. There's so many interesting stories, so many stories that I enjoy. You know, we forgot to mention this, we just never got to it. And I think some of the other talk shows may have talked about it. It doesn't mean that we can't talk about it, though. And that is, dinosaurs are good eating. And, you know, they found this mammal that ate dinosaurs. Are you aware of this?
Yes. I'm not sure what it was, but I did hear something about something eating dinosaurs.
Yeah, they found a mammal.
What was it called? He said stupidly.
Well, it was 130 million years old, so it didn't have a name.
It was called Arnold.
Yeah. Notice it's the largest early mammal ever found. It's from the family of Rapenomanus.
What?
Rapenomanus.
Rapenomanus?
Yes, it's more than 3 feet long with a likely weight of more than 30 pounds. But in its stomach, they found a parrot dinosaur.
Okay.
A very young parrot dinosaur.
Yeah, small one.
And actually, the young ones are better. It's like, you know.
More tender, I would
yeah.
think.
The soft-shelled parrot dinosaur, actually, is sauteed in with a little butter and some lime.
Garlic.
Pretty good. And they're good eating.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If you've never had blackened red parrot dinosaur, you ain't never had something real good. They found a fossil of a mammal measuring 2 feet long, probably weighs about 15 pounds, and inside it, there was a little baby parrot dinosaur that measured about 5 inches long.
Uh-huh.
So you got a mammal eating a dinosaur, which I believe is a first.
First we've heard of it, yeah.
And I don't really have anything else to say about it, really, except that...
when I heard 3 feet long, I figured it was a Sal Haney joke in here someplace.
Well, no, actually, the Cynicosaurus, which is the parrot dinosaur, had a small head with a curved horny beak, so that's a little more of a Mikey C kind of joke. And actually, you have to eat the baby ones. You know why you have to eat the baby ones?
No, I don't.
The adults grew to be 6 feet long.
Uh-oh.
You can't eat a big old parrot.
I wouldn't
dinosaur.
Think you'd want to put down a six-footer. No,
eat the baby. All right. That's that. Many other things. I do think, I do think one of the sort of trends right now is the bad kid. Like Mark Thatcher, who I guess his entire life has been this complete weasel con artist. You know, at one point... He asked one of his mother's political allies what he could do to help her campaign, and the man said, leave the country. So now he's gotten, you know, he's busted, basically, in South Africa or someplace for some swinish, you know, scam. Munchies. What are those?
That's a double red.
It must be double red or something like that. So everything has stickers on them. And, of course, also down in Georgia, they were putting stickers on the biology textbooks. Saying that evolution is a theory, not a fact.
This just gets better with a minute.
The speaker said, this textbook contains material on evolution. Evolution is a theory, not a fact, regarding the origin of living things. If you think we came from monkeys, you are sick and twisted and may burn in hell. Now, it says this material should be approached with an open mind, studied carefully and critically considered.
Right.
But now they have to take them off. Federal judge said they can't do that. That by denigrating evolution, they appear to be endorsing the well-known prevailing alternative theory, creationism, said the U.S. District Court. However, they are allowed to keep the stickers on that says, God may not, in fact, hear the prayers of Jews.
Man.
Those, for some reason or other, are illegal. The evolution ones aren't. Go figure. You have to be a judge to understand these things. Do we have another minute or not?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. Yeah, we have another minute.
Okay.
poor Bobby. I just feel so bad for him.
You know, you drive up and down to Nat Pike all the time, right?
Oh, yeah, occasionally.
Do you have an easy pass?
No, I do not have an easy pass.
You ever wonder,
or do I have a fast lane?
You ever, or whatever they're called. Yeah, they're fast lane.
No, easy. You can be.
They're interchangeable. Yeah, they're fungible.
Right.
Yeah, you can. You ever wonder what would happen if you just sort of went in that lane? And
yes, I know what happened. I did that one when they first put it in by mistake.
Well, Marcella Adams did it more than once. She has a Mazda 626 with no easy tag on it.
Yeah.
She's down there in Houston. She's amassed $17,651. Starting in March 2003, she just started driving through them there easy passes. You know, what the heck?
Why stop?
Why stop?
Yeah.
Ain't no waiting there.
WTIC's car one.
Start and then when the actual movie starts.
But there should be an exception for Blueback Square.
Blueback Square, absolutely.
Yeah.
Where they can do pretty much anything they want anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're not going to have the movie theaters there. That's where they're going to have the manure digester operation where the movie theaters were going to be. So a moot point anyway.
Yeah. I think it's a draw.
It's a cogeneration manure digesting energy manufacturing plant. That was the other permitted use in that sector. Dennis in his car.
Dennis.
Hello, Dennis.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Right. Fine.
Why does this have to be any more complicated than just arriving a little bit later?
Because, first of all, you don't know when to arrive. Do you know, is it going to be 8:25? Is it going to be 8:20? Is it going to be 8:15?
Well, so you arrived 10 minutes. So maybe you missed the credits to the movie, but you don't really miss the movie. I don't want to miss the credits.
I don't want to be later.
15 minutes either.
I don't like that. I mean, I miss a tiny little bit of The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, and now it'll haunt me until I see the actual beginning of it. So I don't like that idea. You know, Bobby, I bet you Bobby made the other people who actually support this, though, I bet you he's making them hang up.
Probably.
Yeah.